107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden and Vice President Harris were on hand at Joint Base Andrews late last night to greet four Americans freed Thursday in a massive multi-nation prisoner swap with Russia. Retired Marine Paul Whelan and Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich among them.
There's nothing beyond our capacity to react together. Nothing. Remember who the hell we are. We're the United States of America.
Before arriving at the big U.S. military hospital in San Antonio within the past 15 minutes. Bloodletting at Intel. The computer chip titan is blowing out 15,000 people, about 10% of his workforce, as it tries to compete with more successful rivals. A federal judge in New York City sentenced the former Honduran National Police Chief Juan Carlos Bonilla Valladares to 19 years in prison on his guilty plea to protecting shipments of cocaine destined for the U.S. This is ABC News. Advertising? For love? Philadelphian Dave Klein renting a billboard letting the ladies know he's available.
It's just supposed to be funny for the most part, but I'm not going to lie that the added benefit is that girls are messaging me first now, which is great.
Further proof that advertising works, the investment paying almost immediate dividends.
I have one set up for tomorrow, I think. It's probably going to be a little walk or something, but people are being very forward if they want a date, which I appreciate.
The billboard says he keeps a cat and has normal hobbies. High crimes, Customs and Border Protection announcing the seizure at the Lukeville, Arizona crossing of more than 1,000 pounds of fentanyl in roughly 4 million blue pills. It's the largest such seizure in CBP history. The drugs found after inspecting a pickup truck hauling an RV on a trailer. 20-year-old U.S. citizen in custody. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Advocates fighting human trafficking say Wisconsin needs to do a much better job. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
CEO of Zetea Community, Marlene Sorensen, says we need to do better providing services for survivors.
Human trafficking is reported in all 72 counties in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, Wisconsin has a big F in our state response to the issue of human trafficking and sexual exploitation.
Awareness, education, and willingness to be someone's safe space can save lives. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Authorities are going after suspected deer poachers in southeast Wisconsin. The Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office and game wardens are zeroing in on a 200-square-mile area around Fond du Lac, Dodge, and Washington counties. They're asking for information from anyone who knows anything. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The dog days of training camp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. That's the Green Bay Packers offensive line driving the blocking sled in yesterday's hot weather.
We know it's going to be hot. Warned them yesterday to make sure they take care of their hydration, everything they put in their body, make sure you get a good night's rest, and it's going to be a little bit of a gut check, I think.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, who says the players will have tomorrow off to rest up for Saturday's sold-out family night inside Lambeau Field. The Wisconsin Badgers football training camp continues today at UW-Platteville. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Braves 6-2, but Pat Murphy chose to focus on the positive positive, Willy Adames, with 112 consecutive starts now at shortstop, surpassing Pat Listash.
You know, Willy Adames just set an incredible record today, playing that many games in a row at shortstop. That's something to celebrate. I have myself, and I've been lucky enough to be healthy, and I have myself ready to play every day.
The longest streak, 207 games at shortstop by Robin Yount. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover shower or rumble coming to an end? The clouds pretty thick here in the overnight with mid-60s by sunrise, light north winds. For your Friday, skies turning sunny. Highs of the upper 80s, close to 90. A light north wind of 5 to 10. Currently 71 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer joins us from the recombobulation area. We learn more details about President Biden's efforts to free hostages held in Russia. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin! How are we doing tonight? It's a new edition of Nightlight. It's a Thursday night edition. Great to have you with me. I am Pete Schwabba, your host, bringing light to your night, I hope, on this beautiful summer evening in Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide all over this wonderful state that we call home from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Riding shotgun, as always, is the lovely and talented Conrad.
Yes, I am here.
It wasn't the lovely and talented. It was the lovable producer. I'm the lovable producer, Conrad.
Yep.
I love it.
I'm the lovable.
How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Good. We got a fun show, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
This is, you know, I'm not going to lie, folks. Usually on Thursday nights, we mail it in. We don't even prep. But tonight, we are going next. That's not true at all. I'll tell you what. In fact, Thursday night is fast becoming my favorite show of the week. And tonight, it's a very extra special show, a very extra special Thursday show. Because we might be giving stuff away. Conrad, details if you please.
Yeah, we're doing a giveaway, and it is with tonight's question.
All right, so let's talk about the question, then we'll talk about the prizes. Tonight's question, this is the anniversary of MTV's launch, is this week. So our question tonight is, what is the greatest music video ever made? What's your favorite? What's the best? However you want to answer that question, tell us what your favorite music video is. You can text us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can text us on the app, which is very easy to use. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, I highly recommend it. It's very easy. Our show is on statewide, so you just click the little text icon and you can fire away off the app as well. It's very easy. But they have to do it on the app or the text line, correct, Conrad?
Yes.
It can't be on the stream. Okay. So if you want to play, if you want to get in on this and tell us your favorite music video, that's all you have to do. You don't have to guess anything right. Tell us what your favorite music video is. Just respond to tonight's question, and you are eligible to win. Conrad, if you please.
So if you win, it does include a stay at Chula Vista Resort.
How about that?
Two tickets to Tommy Bartlett and two tickets for a duck tour.
That, I don't know what that is. What is a duck tour?
You've never been on a duck? It's those, like those boat slash land vehicles.
Okay.
And they go into Lake Delton and it goes around.
Oh, beautiful.
I've done those a bunch.
So what's, that's kind of cool. Is it just like a pontoon boat type situation or what?
kind of. It can go on land as well.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like a military type.
It does look military-esque.
Do you have to take people out?
No, you don't. Okay. But it is beautiful. I've done it. My aunt Carla, she lives in Baraboo. You know,
I'm familiar
around
with her
there. So yeah, definitely, it's beautiful. So and the Tommy Bartlett show is really fun, like on water entertainment.
Yeah, That's like the biggest show in Wisconsin for like decades, right? So two Chula Vista tickets, a stay at Chula Vista, Tommy Bartlett, two tickets to a Tommy Bartlett show, and two tickets for a duck boat, which I am just learning tonight what that is. But it sounds like a blast.
It is. Just take my word for it. It's a lot of fun.
Can you go on the duck boat and pretend you're an Army guy? Would that be weird? Would that make everybody else?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Oh, you got to try it. Maybe we'll win this thing. I think if we answer the question, we should be eligible. No, but answer the question tonight, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to announce the winner tomorrow night at 7:20. That's tomorrow night, Friday, 7:20. Bam. How do you like that? Nightlight, bringing the contest to the people, a little Wisconsin Dells. Let's make our summer even more fun and take part in this contest. So that's exciting. Got two great guests tonight. Rich Tallarico will be here. Rich is running for a spot on the WGA. That's the Writers Guild of America board. He has some really cool things to say regarding writers and their issues with studios and all kinds of stuff. So we'll spend a little bit of time on that, and then we'll ask Rich. He's also a Key and Peele writer, and he came up through the Second City program. He's got written for The Tonight Show, Mad TV. The guy is just like a comedy legend, so it's going to be fun to have Rich on the show. He'll be joining us at 7:35, and then my old pal Ben Reiser from the Wisconsin Film Festival will be here. Ben is always fun to talk movies and TV with. So there you go. Two fun guests and a lot going on. There's, you know, before we go any farther, I want to say, Conrad, you do the social media, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How personal do you get on social media? Like, we all rant sometimes. Sometimes we do it, and I try to, like, temper what I'm going to say. But once in a while, we all get carried away. But how far do you go?
I would say it depends, like, on the audience, for sure. Like, if I have a bunch of family members, you know, like Facebook example.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't even really post on Facebook. It's just, I just like stuff and share.
You do the gram?
I do the gram, not often, though.
Okay.
Yeah, Twitter, I would say I sometimes go on there to talk, but that's about it. I don't really go on there to rant. If I need a rant, I'll probably go to like a friend that I know I can rant to.
The way to do it. Pick up the phone, go have a beer or a cup of coffee or something. I don't understand people. First of all, by the way, I went over 300 Twitter followers today. Did you know that?
There you go.
Get the press release? Okay. Now, 100 of them that I've gained since I've been doing this show are, I think, bots. Or like we were discussing last night, like porno people or something, because they all have like 6 followers and they're following 8,000 people. And the pictures are of pretty girls. Something's going on there. I don't follow back, but I'll take the followers. That's all I'm saying. They don't have access like to my personal information, do they?
No, I don't think so.
I have to interact to some degree for that to happen, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. So, but that's exciting. 300 followers. It only took me like 10 years to do it. Yeah.
Well, you're only 5 years away from 400.
I know. I'm going to get there. No. This is like, I want to say I had like 172 when I started doing this show. I've probably picked up maybe 30 or 40 legitimate follows. And the rest are these pictures of Barbie dolls with one follower that want me to click on something and be my friend, because they need more middle-aged white guys to be friends with. I wish I had a few less middle-aged white guys to be friends with. Anyway, so here's my issue with social media. I don't, when people get too personal, it's irritating. And I don't know if I should defriend or just not follow, or they say you can snooze people for 30 days. But in the last 2 months, I've had a woman who I don't know either, who broke her nose while in the bathroom. I won't go into too much detail. I doubt she's listening, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings either. And it was talking about her bowel movements. And I'm like, why on earth are you saying this on Facebook? Just say you broke your nose. Don't tell us how it happened. Like, that's irrelevant. It's like they want to share too much. Here's another one I had like 4 or 5 days ago. My brother and I hate each other and always will. Why are you posting it? What is that supposed to do? How are people supposed to respond to that?
I feel like you'd think maybe that's a bad character then. Your brother hates you.
Yeah, maybe it's you. My brother and I hate each other and always will. This person lives overseas. I don't think they're listening. I'm not mentioning any names. Here's another one. And I don't know why people do this. I have an awful stomach bug. I mean, it's, and I'm, yeah, it's coming out of both ends. Why are you sharing that? And get your grammar right. Like, if you're going to say it's, yeah, and I mean, it's coming out of both ends.
That's got to, that has to be like a comedy. Someone who's into comedy or something.
No, it's that. Just someone who just likes to share inappropriate things. I don't understand why people do that. And something personal, like you hate your brother and you always will. That's a reflection on you. Because when you post something like that, your name is attached to it. A lot of people reading it probably know your brother. What do you gain from that? And that's what I've always said about social media. It's like a press conference for people who aren't famous but want to pretend they're famous. We can go on there and tweet or post things that, you know, and we pretend that people care. I just don't know why people post that stuff. What's the worst thing you think you've ever posted?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to say it.
I mean, honest to God, half the time, I don't know. Like, I've seen people post pictures of their feet while they're on vacation, and I'm just like, dear God, stop it.
I feel like this can relate kind of to it.
Okay.
Sending a text message meant for someone and you sent it to the wrong person.
I've done that. That's just, that can be awful.
Yes.
I actually sent Todd Michaels a message today that was meant for you. There's a lot of expletives in it too. No, it was just a clip thing. Things I want to clip, but it's very easy to do. Yeah, have you ever sent anything embarrassing?
Yeah. I feel like I have. Yeah. Okay.
Anything you want to share? Or, I mean, should we leave the people guessing?
Let's say sending like a text to a girlfriend previously to one of my best friends.
Oh, no.
He's like, I didn't know you were like, love you like that.
Sure, Conrad. I'd love to have a candlelit dinner with you tonight. Just the two of us. What if he thought you were serious? And now you're like, oh no, my best friend's had a crush on me. How do I back out of this one? So you just go along with it. Yeah, that sounds good.
Now you got a boyfriend and a girlfriend.
I'll bring the pork loin and the champagne. And how far do you take that before you just go, I'm sorry, this was the wrong text.
It wasn't meant for you. I'm sorry.
Can we just
spend 2 years?
Can we just watch a ball game? Yeah, that's fun stuff. So we've got some, I think the contest, I'm hoping the contest crushes, man. And we're getting some texts here. That's good.
It's a really good package to win.
Yeah, I agree. Stacy Sue is checking in on the stream. She says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hello, Stacy Sue. Hope you're having a wonderful night. She says, too muggy. I agree with you. Now, that's okay to post, Stacy Sue. It's nothing about family or bodily functions. I love it. Todd Michaels Daring, celebrating my 300. Thank you, Todd. It's been a dream. And then Sheila Rosenberg says, it irritates me when people post cryptic song lyrics with no explanation. Yeah, that's annoying. I agree with you. Or they'll post something that if you want to follow in it, you have to Google something for 10 minutes. That's just social media, though. Drives you crazy. All right. Our question tonight is, what is the best music video ever made in honor of the launch of MTV? And it's a contest, folks. All you have to do is answer the question, and you will be eligible for a trip to the Wisconsin Dells. We'll give you more details and read your text next. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Nightline with Pete Schwabe.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So, I kind of have my videos. Like, I know what I like. I really like the AHA video, Take On Me. That was kind of a, you know, trailblazing video. It was really cool. They used like graphic design or drawings or whatever. Love the Don Henley video, Boys of Summer, anything by U2. But that's our question tonight. What is your favorite music video of all time? I just, during the break, I Googled just to get some more suggestions here. And this is all I Googled, top 10 videos of all time. I did not put music, but somehow all these kids video. Baby Shark Dance.
Oh.
The Bath Song. Wheels on the Bus. Phonics Song. Oh, that Phonics Song video was killer. Remember that really gorgeous girl they had in that video?
Is the Bath Water from...
No, we're not going back there. We're not doing the Bath
Water. It's not on there?
Question. Whose bath water would you drink? That was one of our first questions, wasn't it?
Yeah, that... Because Saltburn was such a good movie. We just had to
Oh, that's
talk
right.
About it.
That's the reason I only have 300 Twitter followers. All right, so that I would say AHA for me. Loved the Take On Me video. Waterfalls, TCL. I don't know. Do you have one?
I had trouble thinking of one, so I looked it up on Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
And their number one is Formation by Beyonce.
Is it just her dancing? Those are...
And then it's after that, it's Johnny Cash, Hurts.
Oh, I know that one. That's great. Now, this one comes up, Madonna, Vogue. That was a good video.
That was third. That was third.
Oh, really? It's 17th on this one. Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. Loved it. Big Pimpin' by Jay-Z. I don't know that song, but I like when there's something going on or some cool visuals. Like, if it's just people dancing, like we talked about this, like, you want to look, you want to laugh, turn down the sound. When Britney Spears or Jessica Simpson or Beyonce is dancing, it looks ridiculous. It's really funny. Last Dance with Mary. Let's Dance, David Bowie. That was a good one. So what are yours? We want to hear yours. And if you answer the question tonight, you will be eligible for a trip to the Wisconsin Dells. Two tickets to the Chula Vista Resort, two tickets to a Tommy Bartlett water show, and two tickets to a duck boat ride, which Conrad says is a lot of fun. And you're not supposed to pretend you're in the Army. Just keep that in mind, folks. We don't need all kinds of stuff. So here's some text firing off. The first one is Jameson in Pennsylvania says, no need to read on air. Oh, Conrad, why don't you read that one?
Yeah, we can leave that
is
one.
Is that terrible? Did he say something bad?
I think that was meant for a different show. That was before
this show. That makes sense. Even though he got it in, it just, okay. Jameson's a good texter, too. I just assumed. He's got a lot of street cred with Nightlight. Almost just kind of went right into it. Steve from Florida says Michael Jackson's Thriller video. You definitely got to give a tip of your hat to Michael Jackson for that, just because of how elaborate it was. That was more expensive, Steve, than some studio movies to shoot. And the video was like 20 minutes long. There were all these dance breaks, and it was... the dancing might have looked silly in that one, too, but they had makeup on. They were obviously trying to be scary. So that was a phenomenal. And that was like an event. That was iconic. I remember being at a friend's sister's wedding. And we cut out like three friends. We cut out and went to my house because I had VHS recorded Thriller. And they hadn't seen it yet. So that made me feel like a king. It's like, come on over. I got the Thriller video. And I'll put some cheese in our pretzel because we were the first people to have a microwave on our block too. But we had the VHS copy and it was great. That was a fun video. Take On Me from the 608. I totally agree. That's mine too. From AHA. Great one. Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract from the 815. Okay. I remember that one. That was a good one. Also 815. Oh, Sandy from Madison. She's saying that's Sandy from Madison. She votes for Paula Abdul. Steve says the ducks in Wisconsin Dells are old World War II amphibious vehicles that can go in and out of water. That makes sense. Okay, now I know what that is. With the assist from your dad, Conrad.
Yeah.
It was nice. And, you know, it's nice to have those at the resort at Lake Geneva in case there's ever an invasion from Lake Geneva tourists. You can fight them off with the duck boats. Just something to think about. From the 608, Chris Casper, Jeremy by Pearl Jam. Very prophetic. Yes, that's a great one, too. Thank you, Chris. I would not have thought about that one, and that was a really good video. Anna from the 608. Hi, Pete and Conrad. I think MTV's best video is Mick Jagger and David Bowie's Dancing in the Street. That was a good one. I remember that one. What was the one, too? There was one with Clarence Clemens. I'll have to Google that during the break that I like, too. Jim from Appleton says, anything with ZZ Top. I could not agree more. They had great videos. And their songs, just like when they start coming on, when they start playing ZZ Top songs, you know those first few chords. And it just like puts you in a great mood. Paula, Conrad's mom checking in. Why people post I'm going to bed now? That's right. Why do we need to know this? I remember that, Paula. I remember when Facebook first started, people would say goodnight friends.
They're wanting a good night back.
I guess That's so. It.
Good night. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Time to do the old Russian floss, everybody. Good night, everybody. That's a great one, Paula. I love that. Jameson from the 814 says, sorry about that for busted pencils. Hey, we'll take busted pencils texts. You could have said busted pencils was my favorite video 8 months ago, and I would have just thought it was a video, but now I knew who those guys are. Jameson says, I've got one, 1994 Beastie Boys Sabotage, directed by Spike Johns. Nice. During the MTV Video Awards that year, a member of the Beastie Boys, Adam, crashed the MTV Video Awards, crashed the ceremony dressed incognito as Nathaniel Hornblower, a Swiss Alp climber, and called the award going to REM an outrage. I do not remember that. That is hilarious. He says, truly hilarious and cements the legacy of the Beastie Boys. Fight for your right to party. That was a good one, too. Great suggestion so far. And everyone who just answered is now eligible for our contest. So we will announce the winner tomorrow night at 7:20 here on Nightlight. When we come back from our first break, that will be fun. And this, you know, this is a big milestone too. I don't know if you guys like the Coolio. Coolio died like 2 years ago, quite young. He was born in 1963. Well, he was late 50s, early 60s. That's pretty young. But Gangster's Paradise, that was a good video. And that's actually the only song by Coolio I think I know. But it's a great song. That's like one of those songs when it comes on, you're like, oh yeah. And you feel like you're in a gang. Have you ever been in a gang, Conrad?
I have not.
You ever try to join one? It's not for the squeamish.
When I heard that song again, did Weird Al make a parody of that song?
Oh, I'm sure he did. Yeah, I think he did. Let's Google that.
I have to.
Let's go to the Google. Yeah. But it just makes you, it's got that gang feel. And as a guy who... I audited many gangs back in the day. I looked for the right gang. I could not find a gang that fit my tastes. So I stayed off the streets. It helped me.
Well, good for you, Pete.
Top best music videos of all time. Baby Shark Dance. The Bath Song. Phonics. Uptown Funk. Now we're getting into there we go. Johnny, Johnny, Yes, Papa. That's a kid's video. Oh, that's strange. Okay, Rich Tallarico will be here at 7:35. He is a Key and Peele writer. He wrote the famous the substitute teacher sketch, and it's great stuff. I can't wait to talk to Rich. He's going to come on the show. We're going to have some laughs, talk about all the cool things he's done like we do here every night on Nightlight. Ben Reiser's here at 8:20. Get your guess in and be eligible for our contest. Not your guess, your answer. What is the best music video of all time? This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden and Vice President Harris were on hand at Joint Base Andrews late last night to greet four Americans freed Thursday in a massive multi-nation prisoner swap with Russia. Retired Marine Paul Whelan and Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich among them.
There's nothing beyond our capacity to react together. Nothing. Remember who the hell we are. We're the United States of America.
Before arriving at the big U.S. military hospital in San Antonio within the past 15 minutes. Bloodletting at Intel, the computer chip titan, is blowing out 15,000 people, about 10% of his workforce, as it tries to compete with more successful rivals. A federal judge in New York City sentenced the former Honduran National Police Chief Juan Carlos Bonilla Valladares to 19 years in prison on his guilty plea to protecting shipments of cocaine destined for the U.S. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Five student groups at UW-Milwaukee are being suspended temporarily for some anti-Semitic social media posts. The school is linking the groups to social media posts it calls alarming. UWM says the posts use intimidating language aimed at Jewish community members and organizations that support Israel. Details are trickling in slowly about Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Eau Claire next week. Here's James Kelly.
Harris and her running mate will visit the region on Wednesday afternoon, although an exact time and host location has yet to be revealed. The campaign plans to announce who will be her running mate on Monday. According to an Associated Press report, Vice President Harris is planning stops with her running mate in seven swing states next week. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It was not all innocent fun at Comic-Con last week in San Diego, California. The comic book fan convention grows in popularity every year. This year, however, law enforcement executed a sting operation and arrested 14 people on charges of sex trafficking and rescued 10 potential victims, one of which was 16. A representative for the Comic Book Culture Convention told Entertainment Weekly that the arrests were made outside of the event. Poker players and moviegoers alike will be interested in this. Matt Damon dropped hints on The Rich Eisen Show about a possible sequel to his 1998 film Rounders. The film was not a box office darling, but has gained fans over the years, most likely through the growing popularity of Texas Hold'em. Damon plays a graduate student who promises his girlfriend he will quit gambling, but gets sucked into helping his friend, played by Edward Norton, pay off a debt to a Russian gangster, played by John Malkovich. Let's see if the studio goes all in or folds. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today, and it will be a little muggy. Our high right around 86 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 67. Tomorrow, sunshine 88. On Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Let's go to land for Kamala Walk.
I met Kamala and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So, Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian John DeCoste as Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins me to talk Twisters, and it's a bar band Friday as Terry Barr brings us new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Standing lost
Mario. That's his birthday today. He died in 2022. And I like to play, you know, I like to, once in a while, I like to play rap. And just because I'm like the whitest guy who's ever lived, people sometimes are surprised that I like a little Coolio once in a while, but I do. Is that, that's not even really rap, is it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's rap, but it's, I would say R&B maybe.
I would say R&B.
Country's my game. All right, so Ben Reiser's coming up at 8:20 from the Wisconsin Film Festival. We'll talk some summer movies with Ben. Right now, I'm really excited to have this next guest on Nightlight. I've been trying to get him on for a couple months now. He's a very busy guy, and he's got a lot going on, but he finally caved and joins us here on Nightlight tonight. He is a comedian, a performer, actor, writer, Peabody winner, Rich Tallarico. Rich, how are you?
Hey, Pete. So great to be with you.
Likewise, buddy. I was just looking over your resume and feeling terrible about myself because you are very accomplished and you have some really cool stuff you've done in your career. And I'm hoping to cover as much of it as we can tonight. You know, you and I did something together years ago in Chicago. It was this a short film a guy was doing. Do you remember Mike Lucas?
Oh, I love Mike Lucas. And yes, I don't remember what exactly we did. I know that I was, you know, around you a little bit through Mike. Like Dwayne Kennedy as well. But I remember you. And I always wondered if you ever played Shubas. Because if you have to, right? Schwab at Shubas.
Oh. Right. I don't invest with Charles Schwab either. I know it's a travesty. But yeah, we did something and it was a pilot and it never went anywhere. And it was at a studio in Chicago and it was you and I can't remember the name of the other guy. And Mike was there too. And
I was probably heavily drugged up. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, really?
I was probably sedated and brought it. No, I honestly don't remember what we did, but I certainly remember you, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely miss those old Chicago times. I was just back in Chicago and it's just dense with, you know, so much to do.
Yeah. You know, you've been in LA for several years now, I assume.
You know, LA is my base, although I've been on the road a little bit. I rented a place in Nashville for a year.
Oh, wow.
And I've been doing a little bit more of your specialty. I've been getting into the stand-up thing a little bit.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I'm heading down to Austin to do a live show there, this parody of Fiddler on the Roof that we did in Chicago years ago that we're putting on in Austin the last 2 months of the year, and the rehearsals start in September. So kind of on my way, and I was just in Wisconsin, and now tonight you find me in Minnesota.
Wow, no kidding. Were you performing in Wisconsin?
No, just passing through. My last stage stuff was in Chicago. I did some improv. I did the improv at Second City, and I did some stand-up at Lincoln Lodge.
Very nice. Dwayne Kennedy was actually on the show last night, and isn't that where he stopped off, Conrad? He did another radio interview. He stopped off and he said a place called Lincoln Lodge, which I had heard of. I haven't lived in Chicago for several years, but I mean, I don't know. You're right, though. Chicago is just a beautiful training ground on so many levels for sketch, improv, stand-up. And I remember, Rich, making that choice when I went to DePaul, and I was like, well, do I try to do improv? Because I was in an improv group. And I went the stand-up route, and then I see all these guys like Odenkirk and Jeff Garlin and doing both, and I'm like, oh, you can do both. And you obviously figured that out quite early. But I want to get to Second City, too. But the first thing I want to ask you about, because I thought this was fascinating, and I didn't realize this, I'm a member of SAG and the WGA as well. I had no idea until I read the piece you wrote for The Reader. You're trying to become a board member for the Writers Guild, which I think is great. I had no idea that at times you were fighting your own union to represent you, it seems like. Can you explain that and why that's difficult and what you're trying to do, what you'll try to do as a board member?
Yeah, Pete, thank you so kindly for asking. And
you
know, I joined the Writers Guild in 2001. I've been a strike captain. I've been a show captain a couple of times. I've been in Screen Actors Guild since 1995. And, you know, one of the things I'm most known for is working for Key and Peele. You know, I was responsible for the substitute teacher sketch, which just this year was put into the Smithsonian. And, you know, we had a lot of success on Key and Peele. The problem was that the Guild has taken this really mind-boggling position, which is, in my opinion, participating in the fiction of Paramount, then Viacom, who basically started uploading like crazy all of these shows like ours, Daily Show, certainly SNL is not done by Paramount, but that still happens to them. Because basically there's a provision in our contract which says studios can use excerpts of our television shows, use them 5 minutes or less to promote the show, and therefore they wouldn't have to pay us, which seems like a fair trade-off, right? You give away a little, like at Panda Express, they give you a bite of chicken to entice you to purchase.
Well, it's a carpet sample,
For example, my favorite restaurant. But the studio started to do, Pete, was because in sketch comedy and certainly SNL and Daily Show, a lot of these segments at 5 minutes or less are kind of complete.
Right.
And they stand on their own. It's different. You know, a 5 minute clip of Frasier or Sopranos would entice someone to purchase. It wouldn't, you know, but when they're giving away, they basically taken the archives of complete series, chopped them into these 5 minute or less chunks and said, hey, this is all just promotion. And therefore we don't have to pay anyone. And it's kind of this 1-2 punch because it also zaps all of our compensable markets. So when we were on TV, we got, you know, 1 to 2 million views a week. We've gotten billions of views.
Wow.
You know, on YouTube. And this is not just our show, also on Facebook. And we really need the Guild to open the books and basically call foul. The union refuses to say that this violates the contract. My position is, once you've uploaded 51% of the show, then that content can't be called excerpts. It's the majority content.
Right.
So a too high overall percentage of these shows, in many cases, 80, 90, 100% of the shows are being uploaded. I hired somebody to scrape API data from YouTube, which is all public. And there's a lot of information about how much of this use is happening. There's other issues. This is, by the way, one spoke in the wheel of misery that is going on. And yeah, the Guild will not call foul on this. And I don't understand why. And it's been very difficult, but I'm trying to get the word out. And I want people to, you know, hopefully visit my campaign page and hopefully see what's going on. And, you know, the reader piece was nice because it's certainly a way to kind of make this public. It's going to be harder for them to ignore it. The more we can make noise about it. But basically, studios are ripping off artists with a bogus promotional rationale. They're giving away the whole show. And then we make nothing in DVD, EST, which is electronic sell-through. You know, no one's purchasing the show. And why would they? They're getting it all completely for free. The other thing is the studios make money on these promotional uploads. And
right.
I have somebody that approached me from YouTube who was a member of their content creators team for both individuals and studios. And they basically told me, yeah, they can make anywhere from 10,000 to 30,000 per million views. So they're just making this gobs of money. We're getting absolutely nothing. And then also zaps our compensable markets. So it's a really unfair thing that's happening. I think it's a violation. The union does not. And that's where the crux of the issue between me and the union is. Hopefully I explained it. It's very complicated. Like I said, this is just one piece of it. But thank you so much for asking.
No, I thought that was very well stated. And my guest, by the way, is Rich Tallarico. He's a writer and actor and producer. His credits include Key and Peele. He's a Peabody Award-winning, and you've been nominated for Emmys. So who better, I think, Rich, to talk about this? But what's very sad to me is that you have to fight your own union. And I don't know when that started. I know when I sold my first screenplay to MGM, my own lawyer said, I said, oh, 5% of the net. And he goes, yeah, you'll never get it. Like, what are we doing here? Like, they just, there's a certain mentality in Hollywood that you just expect to be ripped off, or they don't expect to pay you. But when in an age when content is everything, how can a union turn its head and not say, you should be compensated for this? That's more baffling to me. The studios are meant to rip people off. That's all they do, is look for ways to do that. But the union, that threw me when I read your piece.
Well, the frustrating thing is they have the power to do right now what they've had the power to do for 10 years, which is to call foul. The other problem is, like, in 2020, they said to me, oh, we're going to get a panel of people together and we're going to look and see and we're going to look into it. And they came back and said, oh, we couldn't find enough promotional uploads. But now in 2023 and later, we got these numbers ourselves. And at the time of the WGA's investigation, there was more than one to one, meaning there's only 300 Key and Peele sketches. And at the time of their investigation, there were 350 5-minute or less, quote, promotional, end quote, uploads. And the Guild pretended they didn't see them, or didn't understand, didn't know what they were doing. And I don't know what they were doing, but it's been very tough. And this is my third run. I ran for president last year, and I knew I wasn't going to win because we were in the middle of a strike. No one's going to oust the president. You know, you have to have the solidarity. And I had many people tell me we can't vote for you. But I'm hoping that'll change. The election is all summer. I'll be posting and, you know, campaigning for this position. And believe me, the first thing I will do is to start to make noise from the Guild, because the Guild will not go on record, will not call foul. And if anything, they've kind of pushed this down and are trying to, in my opinion, quiet it down when they should be amplifying it. So I'm trying to make noise about it.
Can you, Rich, can you, not that you would want to do this, I'm not suggesting that, but like, can you bring a lawsuit? Is that a pointless exercise? Yeah. Or can you find a lawyer who's enough of a pit bull to bring some type of lawsuit? Is that on the table?
Well, in another kind of twisted piece of this, in 2019, there was a settlement taken on behalf of our show and about 50 other shows. And these were all shows that were getting badly abused by Viacom, now Paramount. And we weren't allowed to talk to each other. The union wouldn't facilitate us getting together. And at the time, the union kind of had my trust. And I was like, well, why wouldn't you, you know, bundle our claims? We got 50 shows here. They ended up taking a settlement where each of us, we're talking about 500 writers, and this wiped clean years of abuse. Guess how much each of these 500 writers got each?
I mean, I have no idea. I would say zero, but that could be silly too.
Yeah, well, not far off. They took a settlement and gave us $537 a piece. And in my mind, I'm like, well, why even take the settlement? Just go, let us bring our evidence. They didn't let us present any evidence. I begged the union president at the time to talk to me before they took this settlement. He would not. He only met with me after he signed the deal. And it's just been disaster because it's allowed this abuse to continue. So there was a lawsuit, and our showrunner from Key & Peele, Jay Martell, was the kind of empty suit of the class action. It's extremely difficult to find an attorney that wants to sue the Writers Guild. It's and apparently these duty of fair representation claims, according to lawyers I've talked to, are relatively toothless. The union has a wide berth in their ability to decide what's best. But these decisions seem completely irrational, and I don't understand them. And I'm not saying I'm, you know, smarter than anybody, but if I it just doesn't make sense, then there's something that has to be looked at. So I'm coming back again and trying to get the, you know, people to look at this and see what's happening. And I think, you know, there's something about the culture that we live in, and it's corporate greed, right? But I also think there's somewhat, and I say this gently as I can, there's something called consumer greed, because everybody wants every movie ever made for $6 a month.
Right.
And, you know, look at what's going on Spotify. The artists are getting almost nothing, you know, same thing on Sirius. And certainly on streaming, it's an abomination. It shouldn't exist.
Oh,
there's no way that they're paying anybody fairly. There's no transparency, which is something else I want to fight. You know, we need to be able to track every use of our material and correlate it to a check. That can't happen in
totally,
the current model.
Totally agree with you, Rich. And I just saw today that the guys that did Roadhouse haven't seen a penny either because they switched it last minute to streaming. So we'll have more with Rich Tallarico. He's our guest right now on Nightlight. Coming up next, this is Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick thought about a word you may have heard recently. Shrinkflation. Shrinkflation is when companies give us less of something but charge us the same or even more. Cottonelle and Charmin toilet paper, Dawn Ultra dish soap, Crest toothpaste, Gain detergent, Hershey's Kisses, Reese's peanut butter cups. You are not hallucinating. There really are fewer Fritos in that bag because now it has 9.25 ounces instead of 9.75 ounces in it. Now, some U.S. politicians are talking about reining in these companies. In France, companies that shrinkflate food over there, they have to say so on their packages. You know, I'd love to see that over here too, just so I know what I'm paying for and I know when I'm paying less. If you want to help me and the millions of other Work Money members hold these companies accountable, join us. It's free. You can sign up at workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Our question tonight, and it's a contest, what is the greatest music video ever made? This is in honor of MTV's launch, I don't know, 40 years ago? But that's our contest. All you have to do is respond. What's your favorite music video ever? And we will announce a winner after a drawing tomorrow on Nightlight at 7:20. Rich Tallarico is here. He is running for a spot on the Writers Guild of America board. And I wish you luck, Rich, with that. You've won a Peabody Award. And where do you showcase that, Rich? I've never won. Can I buy one? Can I have one just to have in my office?
You know, I don't even know what it means to win one. No, I'm kidding. I think this was something that, speaking of Jay Martell, our showrunner, he put us up for this. Basically, he submitted us for this award. And this is, for excellence, telling stories that matter. And, shows like the Colbert Report won this award. NPL won this award for its, our satire, our social commentary. We were very proud of that. And the show won Emmys, won the Emmy Award. The writing staff was nominated a few times. And, we got quite a bit of attention from the show. And, that just makes it all the more frustrating. It's happening to the Blair Witch Project too. I'm sure you saw that the people that created that are getting ripped off. The Key and Peele showrunners basically are told every year that there's no profit for Key and Peele. Key and Peele has yet to turn a profit and they get no profit sharing. So it's like this kind of Hollywood accounting. My catchphrase last year was that the accountants shouldn't be the most creative people in Hollywood.
Right. That reminds me of the scene in The Simpsons where Mr. Burns is saying he's had a very lean year, then looks at Smithers and says, money fight. They have a big So let's talk about Key and Peele a little, Rich. Where did you come up with, I know it's a collaborative effort. I've been in a couple writer's rooms, but like you get credit for this substitute teacher sketch, which is probably the most viewed sketch on the whole show. Where did you come up with that?
Yes, well, the sketches come from so many places. Sometimes Key and Peele will have an idea and say, hey, we want to work on X, Y, or Z. As writers, we had 6 writers on the show. We were supposed to write one a day, but we wrote many. For the final season, we needed 128. We wrote 500.
Wow.
So we were just kind of churning them out. And, you get an idea, you put it on paper, or you'd pitch it. Substitute teacher came from my 8th grade teacher, Fred Schutte, who was kind of checked out. He was a teacher on the verge of retirement. He would listen to Cubs games in study hall. And we had a second homeroom because we were allowed to leave for lunch and came back to second homeroom and he'd be there. We had kind of exotic names in our class and he would just look at the names and he would barely try. So he'd see, names like Lori Babiarz, Olga Plachotnik, and Chester Dobrinsky, these kind of crazy names. And so he'd see Lori Babiarz, he'd look at the clipboard and he'd go, Babish. And, poor Lori Babiarz would raise her hand and go, here? And then he'd see Chester Dobrinsky and he'd go, Dajinsky. And he, like, I guess that's me, you know, and he'd see Olga Plachotnik and his head would explode. But that was the seed for it. There was certainly improv on the set when that was shot. And, you know, all the writers write on everything, basically. So we, when sketches get to, by the time they get to production, they've been rewritten 5, 6, 7 times. They get notes from the studio, notes from Key and Peele, notes from Jay and Ian, who were the other showrunners. And we'd have internal reads. We'd have reads with the studios. So, you know, marching towards the production, because we'd write for 10 weeks and then they'd shoot for 10 weeks. Stuff was just very gone over. So, you know, I've got bits in everybody else's sketches. They got bits in mine. Right. But, you know, when you bring in something, essentially you're responsible for it. You're the writer for it. And I worked at Saturday Night Live, very similar. Anything you bring in, even though other people will throw things at you, you're still the producer of your piece, you know, kind of shepherding your piece to the end of the rainbow there.
I saw that you've written on, yeah, like you said, SNL, but also Mad TV and Key and Peele. Of those three, were the writers' rooms all similar? Was there one that was more fun than the other or more laid back?
Well, I mean, Mad TV was a lot of fun. I worked with a lot of Groundlings folks were on the staff. Some SCTV people were there. And just genuinely a lot of fun and lightheartedness and silliness with each other. You know, SNL is like playing for the Yankees. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's incredible to get to go to 30 Rock for work and to, you know, be there, go to those parties and watch the shows and just see the musical acts and, you know, fantastic. So it was definitely high pressure, but still a lot of fun. And Key and Peele was very, very laid back. There were only 6 of us and Key and Peele and the two, you know, so very small room, 10 or people. I think in the last season we added one more writer, but we were just cranking it out. And I knew Key and Peele from Mad TV and I knew them from Second City as well, because I was doing Second City and Keegan came through from Detroit and Jordan came through from New York, you know, both with stops in Chicago. So I did Chicago, kind of knew them. And then we did Mad TV together. And then they called me, you know, after I did The Tonight Show for a year. And then after that, they brought me in for Key and Peele. I came into Key and Peele in season 2 and just had a very, very good time, very laid back. And I love, you know, I love the L.A. lifestyle, you know, driving to work with the windows rolled down every day. And
how fun is that?
We just had so much fun there. And we were right in Hollywood and, you know, a blast.
Do you have a favorite Jordan Peele movie? Rich, I know you've done punch up on some of his scripts, but do you have one of his films that you like?
Well,
the best?
you gotta go with Get Out. I just think it's the OG. You know, seeing it in the theater when the police car pulls up and it's not who you think, and it just gets this, you know, electrifying feeling, and that's what we want from our theater experiences. And Jordan, obviously, a master storyteller, brilliant comedian, writer, can do anything. So I'll say Get Out.
Did that surprise you? Obviously, you knew he was incredibly talented, but when you saw these movies he was putting out, were you blown away or did you expect it?
Well, I was proud of him and happy for him because, you know, he wanted to do horror. And I think a lot of people in his inner circle were like, you're succeeding with sketch.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a very good sense from him of what was best for him and what he really was passionate about, and just followed it up and followed it through very perfectly.
That's great. Hey, Rich, can you give us a few more minutes?
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic. All right, we just got to do some news. We'll be right back. I want to ask you about Second City and a few other things. A lot of fun hanging out with you, buddy. Rich Tallarico is here. He's going to stick around for a few more minutes. Stay tuned right now for Civic Media award-winning news. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I am back in the host chair with my head examined, and Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah.
be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.